Welcome to Shoujo. Care to take a guess as to what that was?
Do you have a harmonica?
Yeah.
Are you playing the harmonica?
I thought it would be fun to do like a little...
Like, yeah. Play us in. Give us a new intro song. Okay, Discord picked up none of that, so I'll have to listen to
my podcast.
Oh my God. Just like, yeah, that's great. Just play us a harmonica song. That could be our new intro music.
I found it and I was like, oh, this would be fun to start the episode with a little fade in.
The end of the year, we can have like a harmonica album release.
Yes, because I totally know how to play a harmonica.
Yeah. Why else would you have one?
Yeah, well, just because I was rummaging through some old stuff and found this like camping kit, and it had a harmonica, playing cards, and like marshmallow roasters. And so, yeah. Anyways, welcome to Shoujo. This is a podcast about anime. You may not have picked that up from our beginning here. That's because we aren't just an anime podcast. We're just lovely to listen to, regardless of what we're talking about.
We're partially a camping podcast now.
Yes, yeah.
What's your favorite type of tent?
All I know is that Joe is ready to make his return to camping after we've heard his previous saga of camping
camping. I do not want to be a podcast about camping, actually.
They gotta be out there already.
For sure. What do we think the audience overlap between, like, people who like camping and anime fans are? Do you think it's big?
I don't.
There was that anime about camping.
There was? Oh, you know,
there's an anime about camping.
Like, it's like, got these girls, right, that, like,
yeah, it's like the cute girls doing mundane things genre of anime, and they just go camping. And apparently I don't know, I've heard it's like, all right.
Okay.
They go camping. Yay.
Yay, camping. Yeah, I'm Sarah. That's Joe. We make up the dynamic duo of Shoujo.
Which one's the Robin? Am I the Robin?
No, I think Batman? I think you're Batman and I am Robin.
Oh, I'm the Batman?
Yeah.
I feel more like the Alfred, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, he's cool. Robin does turn into Nightwing. Well, which Robin are you? There's multiple.
That's a good point. I am very partial to Dick Grayson Robin. So mm-hmm. I do like the Nightwing Robin.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that much stuff with the other ones, I guess, to be honest. I don't like his kid, his actual kid. I think that Damian, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little shit, which can be fun, but it's kind of exhausting, you know? I guess Tim's cool.
I don't know which
Tim
one.
Tim Drake, is that it?
All I know is from Young Justice.
Okay. Yeah, he's the one in that one, because the other one's dead already.
Yeah. But yeah, I should probably be like, oh, me and Joe, good friends for over a decade. We both love gaming and anime and wanted to stay in touch. So this podcast has been our way of doing that.
and we wanted to learn. I wanted to learn. This is new to me. So I'm learning a lot about shoujo anime that is geared towards women and girls. I guess we're kind of in the little Jose space technically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that has been interesting to me.
What's the consensus so far? What does Joe think of
the consensus?
Shoujo.
Well,
what do you think
of it? We watched four things, right? They haven't compared
one
to like, so like I've watched a lot of shonen, obviously. That tends to be more fantasy oriented. And so far, we haven't watched anything that's super fantasy oriented. Even the thing that we almost watched, Kamisama Kiss, like there are fantasy elements, but it's still fundamentally like in the normal, regular world, right?
Yep.
So there isn't. I haven't seen that as much. Even like Sailor Moon, right? Like most of the time you take place in the regular world.
Yep.
So I haven't seen. You know, it's not like One Piece or what else is like Naruto or whatever, where it's like a fantasy world that just like doesn't reflect reality at all.
Full Metal.
I haven't seen that.
Well, yeah. I guess it's kind of industrial based,
which is interesting.
Yeah,
why haven't I seen
that,
Sarah?
Wait till we do Fushigi Yugi, which is in ancient China, or
Ancient China is still a real place, though.
Okay. Totally fictional, Oh dear. So that one podcast or that one anime I talked about on the very first thing we recorded for this, Sugar Apple Fairy Tale with the enslaved fairies thing. That's its own world.
That's okay. That's a good point.
Uh-huh.
But that feels like a very prevalent thing in Shonen, and I just really haven't seen it at all in
the world building aspect. Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
I guess because maybe Shonen is more about like doing things, and Shoujo is more about the characters. So it's less about the environment and just more about the character specifically.
That may also be like a more recent thing that's gotten more popular, because we're watching stuff that's like a little bit older, right? And like it's been adapted from manga that's older.
Yeah,
and maybe the like big fantasy world, everything's different, is like a newer, like risen in popularity recently. I'm thinking of like YA books that like are popular with women, like the, I mean, I guess this is like Western, like Japanese women are reading.
Court of Thorns, yeah, Courts or Roses, of or
Thorns
whatever.
And Roses or whatever. Yeah, yeah, like stuff like that, right? Which I guess is
the rage.
Popular. I don't know if it's popular there.
I have to tell you, it's just mediocre. I mean, I've only read the first volume.
Okay. Is that a book? Is the first volume a book or is it like multiple books?
Sorry. Yeah, it's a book and a series.
Okay.
It's fine.
What was mediocre about it?
I don't know, like the writing, average, you know, like, what? It's like Twilight level.
Yeah, no,
you know,
get their ass. I don't care. I have no stake in this.
I think, I don't know. I just, it's like the new Twilight where it's like the love triangle and, you know, oh, she turns into this, you know, she was human, but then like turns into this other thing, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It was fine.
Does it feel like a retread? Like you're just doing this again?
I just kind of the whole time I was reading it just felt like this is someone, it just didn't feel very sophisticated writing, or it felt so cliched of like, oh, I'm the tough girl who knows how to fight and I hate being girly and this and that. And
oh, wait, really? Like it leans into that like really hard? That's funny.
Yeah, my sister freaking loves this series. It's fine. It's okay. Maybe the author gets better at writing. I just didn't feel remarkable to me in any way as someone who's read a lot of romance and fantasy. I don't know. Yeah. Christopher Poloni or whatever, 19-year-old dude, just something. He just crushed it. Aragon's probably one of my favorite books.
Oh, I couldn't read that book. I tried reading that book and I'm like, I can't do this.
It's a little bit of a slow start.
I can't do fantasy tropes where like the thing is obvious what's going to happen, but they have to act like this is the draw of the book. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's the thing I can't do, where it's like, oh, I'm like an orphan and I don't know who my parents are, but I'm really good at this thing. I'm like, let me guess, your parents are like,
that's true,
legendarily good at this thing. And it's like, yes. And I'm just like, dude, I can't, like, that can't be the core thing of the book. The book has to have something else for me to latch on to.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's because I'm an adult and I've read a bunch of other stuff, and this is like not written for adults. I've read a bunch of other stuff, so
yeah,
I'd be kind of
young
on it.
Novel or young adult genre, both. Well, no, the ACTAR, I think, is what the shorthand for A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Oh, ACTAR, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds
and
right.
I don't remember how I feel like it's not that explicit of smut.
What, like there's sex in it? What do you mean? Explicit?
Yeah. It's like it's like smutty a little bit. Which is like the big draw of it, I think, for most chicks.
Oh, really?
Yes. I didn't read 50 Shades of Grey, but I'm assuming it's less than that. I don't know. It's fine.
That makes sense.
I guess whatever gets women or just people more interested in fantasy and stuff is good.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing that I know is popular now that is not present in any of these shows that we've watched so far.
Yeah. I'll have to think on that. Maybe I can.
We've only watched four shows, so it's not
many.
Although I looked at the list, and I don't see a lot on the list either that really falls into that.
Yes, you're right. And then everything that I think is a shoujo is a shonen now, it turns out. Horimiya, shonen, Angelica Claire, shonen. What is happening?
I mean, there's going to be some stuff that is like, I know Utena is like a weird fantasy world kind of.
Yes. Well, we'll get to that at some point.
We'll get there. It just seems a lot of these are the I'm a high school girl.
Mm-hmm.
Things happen to me that are either in some cases kind of mundane. I mean, Kimi no Tadoke was kind of just like, this could be someone's life, I guess. There's nothing like stopping it from being someone's life.
I guess it could be like when demographic, it's like basically relatable because if you're in school and the protagonist is in school and then they have these interesting things happen, that's exciting thinking about them happening to you. Whereas boys like just want to are more inclined for like more exciting than what life is currently, maybe, or dissatisfied, or
yeah, I'm trying to think of like what is the like U.S. equivalent? Like, what were you watching that was not, you know, anime in like middle school, high school?
Avatar: Last Airbender, thinking stuff like, which is technically not anime.
Well, but like geared more towards women, right? Like, I'm thinking about like, there's a lot of TV, like there was like That's So Raven, there was like, you know, Wizards of Waverly Place, like that kind of, like the live action kind of like Disney, because you had like Victorious that was on what, Nickelodeon? We were a little old for that, I guess.
Yes, we were. My
that's
sister
also
watched-
kind of school.
Like Hannah Montana and stuff.
Yeah.
So I would sometimes see it by proxy, but I feel like, I'm trying to think what I watched at, I don't know, Teen Titans. I'm trying to think. I don't know if I consumed that much because I started watching anime when I was in middle school. So then that's like all
I consumed.
Yeah, but I mean, consumed.
Like, oh, okay. I see. Yeah, like a lot of like cartoons.
Race face.
Well, I was a guy. They weren't like explicitly gendered. I mean, it's mostly just like is the Powerpuff Girls for girls or boys?
Totally Spies.
Totally Spies, right? Like, I also watched that, even though it's like all women.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you had stuff that's like kind of on like Code Lyoko, right? Like, there are women and guys. Code Lyoko. I know people who watch both of that stuff. Yep, so it's like there's a lot less obvious demographic shift or like marketing for stuff, right? And then you have like SpongeBob and things like that, which is just kind of broadly
Jake
for everyone.
Long at American Dragon was Danny Phantom. These are things like Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah, but like I feel like maybe the like Hannah Montana kind of thing is the analog I should be drawing for this, because that fits more into what we've watched, right? Where it's like, oh, you're like a high school girl and here's some weird stuff going on in your life that's like goofy and bizarre, right?
I'm having the hardest time of thinking of like live actions that I watched. I really was just more into the animated things.
Mm-hmm.
Once I was of a certain age. I don't know. What were you watching?
I mean, I watched those shows. Like, I mean, I watched like a bunch of cartoons. I kind of just watched like everything cartoons. I didn't watch any anime really because I didn't have any shows or like channels that would play it. It was like I watched Toonami, you know, like once a week, essentially. But yeah, like I would watch all the stuff that people remember, right? I'd watch some of the stuff people don't remember as well. Like, I'd watch CatDog, I'd watch Angry Beavers.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Like, I
watch stuff like that.
Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide. I like that one a lot. That's another kind of gender neutral one, though. I did watch Zoe 101.
Yeah, Zoe 101. Mm-hmm. I did watch that.
A little bit of The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, I guess, but Drake and Josh, that's another one that I liked a lot.
Drake and Josh, yeah.
But yeah, not like very feminine,
I didn't watch that much
targeted content.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I watched Even Stevens. You know what I mean? Like, there's stuff on there, but it's like not as
Kim Possible.
Yeah, I did watch Kim Possible. That was quite good.
But yeah, nothing like super. I did like the Barbie movies when I was a younger girl. Like, I probably was too old by the time. Yeah, sometimes those are set in like fantastical places.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I don't know. Samurai
it's just
Jack.
Interesting. Like, the comparison point of like what I guess like US media has to offer or did have to offer us growing up versus like kind of what is we're watching now. I mean, they have that stuff there. Like, they, you know, they
Maybe because they're just, SpongeBob, I don't know what Japanese. The like frequency of cartoons released at that time versus frequency of anime released at that time. But if they had like a lot more anime coming out, then maybe it was just easier to churn out.
Well, it's a bigger industry there, like comparative to their live action stuff than it is here.
Yeah. Although it is still like, oh, that's for kids, or at least for the older generation, very much like.
Yeah.
Anime is not for adults, but.
Yeah, I mean, anyways. I feel like that's especially true here. Like, cartoons is, like, definitely coded for kids stuff, especially because, like, I don't know. Like, my parents were very much, like, thought it was weird that I would watch cartoons as I got older, which makes sense because, like, the cartoons they grew up on were, like, the Transformers TV show and, like, Thundercats. And if you watch that nowadays, it's very obvious that this is just, like, an ad for toys, yes. essentially.
Yeah.
And did not have writers. And then when I grew up, they had writers, so the writing was actually good. So,
yeah.
Significant yeah. difference in terms of quality.
I don't know. I enjoyed being a kid. So maybe it's just like being a kid at that time was extra fun or I don't know. Or we, I don't think I think my family just knew I was quirky. So they just, and my mom had my sister to be the normal one to do the normal stuff with. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, any other catching up you want to do? Do anything fun? Watch any anime?
I did try a couple of series and couldn't get into any of them. Let me pull up.
Okay.
Let's see. I tried Solo Leveling. I watched 6 episodes of that.
Okay. It's a
very, very unlikable protagonist. So I don't want to watch it. I tried the 12 Kingdom show, that like old 2002 one.
Yeah.
It's a little rough.
Okay.
Or everything feels like a knockoff of Fushigi Yugi sometimes. Like, same with Yona of the Dawn. But I was like, oh, maybe I'll try that new Rurouni Kenshin remake. I never really watched the anime. I just had the manga. It's like a really gritty manga. And I don't understand why that was like one of the first series that I finished when I was like 13.
Yeah, I can't watch that show anymore.
Yeah.
Even the stuff about the creator of it.
What happened with the creator? Oh, God. What?
Oh, you don't know this?
I don't stay up to date with anything. Oh, God. What is it?
Okay. Let me make sure I'm saying the right thing here. So keep talking.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, everybody sucks. It's just whose secrets come out or not, I guess. Dear.
Keep talking. Let me look this up.
Yeah. Because I have. It's like 27, 28 volumes. And yeah, for some reason I picked that up and it's so gory and so political. And I feel like I understood maybe like 50% of what the, like I was so dumb. I don't know why that's a series I had. I still have it, but I need to reread it and see. Because it has the Shinsengumi, which I only know from this dating sim called Hakuoki.
So,
what?
The creator of Rurouni Kenshin in 2018 was charged for possession of child pornography. Basically, it seems got a slap on the wrist because, you know,
yeah.
justice systems.
No biggie. Yeah.
Was fined less than $2,000.
What else is that?
I don't know if that's like totally resolved yet, but yeah. So ever since I learned about that, I cannot engage with that. And also, like, a lot of these manga creators hang out with each other, and he's still like pals around with people, like the guy who made One Piece, which makes me pretty like not great.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yikes.
That's my thoughts on that.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, anyways, nothing caught my eye, really. How about you, Joe?
I watched the first episode of the Ranma ½ remake, having never watched the original show or like knowing very little about it. All I knew was the gender swapping thing. And yeah. There's a character named Shampoo.
Yeah, I love Shampoo.
That's all I know. I don't know who she is. I just know that's her name.
She's the lady with the purple hair.
So this was originally what, in the 90s or something, earlier
anime?
Was it
80s?
Anime, the original
is probably
show.
The 90s. Yeah,
89, so 89 in the 90s.
Okay.
This is a show about a guy named Ranma who is like a martial artist, and him and his dad go on a trip to China to like train, do some kind of special training, and they go to this like cursed springs area where if you fall into one of the pools, you turn into whatever creature died in that pool. So the dad falls into a pool that turns it into a giant panda. So when he gets wet, With cold water, he becomes a giant panda. And when he gets wet with warm water, he goes back to his like regular self. And Ranma falls into one that turns him into a young girl. So it is a gender swapping thing where when he gets wet with cold water, he becomes a girl. And when he gets wet with warm water, he goes back to being a guy. He is engaged to some other chick because their families arranged this marriage to keep their dojos going. And so it's basically just a story about that. It's like a comedy. From what I remember people talking about, this is like a pretty, the original was like, you know, had a lot of, you have the manga for it.
Yeah, I have the entire manga series.
Wow. Okay.
Which I really like the cover art of this first one.
Yeah, it looks nice.
I've heard that I've only watched the first episode as well, but like it's heavily censored for this one. As far as just minor things like, apparel that had certain symbols on them and stuff like that.
Yeah, the original show I know had like some like nudity and stuff in it. The new show doesn't. I don't know if I would consider that censoring because I think it's just like a more pleasant show to watch.
I mean, there's not like detail really being shown more than there is in the anime.
I don't know. I didn't watch the original show, so I can't do like, oh, they censored this. I don't really think censoring like nudity in this show is that big of a deal. I think that kind of doesn't matter. I mean, I haven't seen the original show, so I don't know
about the comedy in the martial arts in this series.
I mean, I found the show pretty charming. Like, I think like Ranma's pretty fun. I like
watched sub or dub.
I watched the subs of it.
Okay,
it has the original voice cast.
Oh, really?
That's what Jenny told me.
Okay. I'll watch that instead. Did not like the dub.
Yeah, I like all the characters so far. It's pretty funny. The art looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like it's totally charming so far. I know this is like a long running series, so I'm sure at some point it will be less charming, or I don't know if it'll fall off or it'll maintain. But so far, I'm having a pretty good time. I'm like three episodes in or something.
Nice. Yeah, it's the only like really it's like comedy first it's the only series that I own that is like set around that. It has a huge cast. Like, I don't know if there's been a series with more rivals introduced than this one. Like, they just so many characters get thrown in. There's like 32 volumes. But there's like fun stuff like Ryoga and Shampoo, who you haven't met yet. But yeah, it is good. So I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, so I'll keep watching that. Nice. Otherwise, I'm still going through Gundam Wing. I'm like 20 episodes in. It's cool. I'm having a good time. I'm still watching Space Runaway Ideon. Also cool.
How long is that?
No more dinosaurs, but we're having, you know, it's still pretty fun.
Sweet. Yeah. All right, well, I guess we should get this ball rolling because I gotta go for my freaking third wedding dress excursion.
Okay. All right. So, Chihaya Furu, I've learned a couple things by paying attention. Number one, they call the episode verses, so I'm gonna start calling them verses now, like verses in a poem.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yes. But we'll start with a voice actor talking about that. We're gonna talk about the voice actor for Taichi, who is a repeat. We've had them before. The voice actor for Taichi is Mamoru Miyano, who was the voice of Shofu and Skipbeat, the show we just watched.
He always plays the kind of jerky characters.
He plays the jerky characters, but also, yeah, I guess he does kind of play the jerky characters in a lot of stuff. He has 1,000,000,000 credits because this dude has done a bunch of stuff in work. You may know him as Light Yagami in Death Note, the main character. He's also Kiba in Wolf's Rain, which you told me to watch.
Yep, you should watch it.
He is Ren Okabe in Steins Gate, the main character in that. And for me, he is Riku in Kingdom Hearts.
Is that the white-haired one?
Yeah, that's the like rival. That's like your
The Sasuke.
The Sasuke, but better than Sasuke because he isn't actually evil. He's just he's just going through it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Kingdom Hearts is good. Did you play that? Should I recommend you play that?
You lent me your PS2 once and I tried to play it. I just could not get into it.
You know, it's okay. We got Jenny to play it and she hates it. She's having the worst time ever.
I just, it was like, I tried it when I was in high school, so I didn't have like that childhood fondness for it. I'm not like especially by Final Fantasy or Disney. And I don't know, combat, whatever. Or like feel, I don't know, it's goofy having freaking Goofy in your game.
It's rules. Goofy should be in every game. They should just throw Goofy in as a party member. Like if you could play Dragon Age and one of your party members is just Goofy, that would be awesome.
No.
Should be DLC for every single game. All right, Chihayafuru verse 5 is called The Sight of a Midnight Moon. I'm trying to think of why that would be the theme of the title.
Yeah, please try to interpret what these mean.
I don't know. Does Arata's name have like some double meaning?
Mm-hmm.
This is the episode where they go see him, so
yeah.
That's why I'm saying this. Anyway, we open on Chihaya and Taichi running onto the morning train together. They're wearing their street clothes because they're on a trip to see Arata. Taichi doesn't seem all that worried about him, but Chihaya is extremely worried. She knows how his voice was different now, and he has a Fukui accent, which is the region he's living in currently. But if she doesn't go and see him now, she'll never see him again. As a reminder, the end of last episode, she like called him to tell him that she made class A, and he was like, "Don't call me anymore. I stopped playing Karuta."
Yeah, so angsty. Yeah.
On the train, Taichi speculates Arata just got a new hobby and it's not that big of a deal, but Chihaya isn't having it. He changes the subject to ask her if she likes anyone because he's worried about love rivalries.
Mm-hmm.
She says she tries to give Dr. Harada chocolate every Valentine's Day, but he refuses because he's married. Taichi says that's not what he's talking about. He means like actual love. And she's like, "Well, what's love then?" And then he pauses and says, "It's when you don't enjoy being around each other." And Chihaya's like, "What? You don't enjoy being around your girlfriend?" And Taichi deflects, but he continues in a monologue that love is when nothing goes your way and you're not having fun, but you want to be with them anyway, because he is going through it.
I don't think that's the universal experience for love, my dude.
No, he's just describing what's happening to him right now.
Yeah, he's got to kick the girlfriend to the curb, man. This is out of control.
It's not great. Again, not the best look for you, bud.
No.
She's also not going to be into you if she knows you have a girlfriend. Like, this is a little self-sabotaging. Taichi is so clearly in love with Chihaya, it's not even funny. That's my next note. He's frustrated and thinks this trip is kind of a waste of time, but keeps going anyway. They take a taxi to Arata's house. Chihaya almost chickens out from ringing the doorbell and tries to make Taichi do it, but Taichi doesn't think that he had the best relationship with Arata, so he doesn't want to do it either. A schoolgirl sees Chihaya and Arata standing in front of Arata's house and tells him that she's their neighbor and that he has a part-time job at the bookstore now. So they rush over while bickering about it. Chihaya is better at running than Taichi, even though she's wearing...
Well, she was in track, and her running form is, like, really good, because she has her arms going to the side, popping, whereas freaking Taichi's almost doing the anime girl run, where, like, his arms are going side to side, and just yes. Sloppy running form, my dude.
The Taichi cannot run for shit.
Yeah.
He tells her to stop running, because she's just gonna chicken out approaching him anyway. She stops and looks up at the cherry blossoms because they're running through like a trail. It's like very scenic.
A road with trees overarching.
A road with trees, but it's, you know, not for cars.
The walking path.
She asks if she really wants to see Arata, and Taichi says he doesn't really care either way, but they can just go home if she wants. Like, we could just leave. They walk next to each other, and we have several shots of their hands swaying as he almost goes for it when a guy on a bicycle rides past. Chihaya notices that it's Arata and runs after him, pulling him off the bike very dangerously. They both tumble down a hill and Arata ends up on top of Chihaya. Arata takes a moment to recognize her and only does when Taichi calls out to her. Chihaya cries, saying that she missed him.
She's so pretty and he is blown away by her beauty.
She's so pretty. They both fell down a hill. He landed on top of her.
How the tables turn from Taichi trying to hold her hand to Arata being on top of her.
Yeah.
Oh man.
They go to Arata's
dangerous.
House.
So dangerous.
Chihaya has to take a bath because she got covered in dirt while falling down that hill. The next door neighbor girl, her name is Yu, helped them out, and Taichi offers her some sweets as a thank you. She seems somewhat off put and rushes home. Taichi and Arata both catch up and size each other up at the same time. Chihaya comes in and starts talking about her underwear with Taichi. I don't know why this happens. Arata's not having it.
It just kind of shows how, like, she hasn't matured, because she's still calling him panties like a little girl, and like not aware that she shouldn't be discussing those things in front of dudes.
She does not have boundaries with Tai Chi, which is bad news for everybody. Arata's not having it and tells him to leave as soon as her clothes dry. Tai Chi's like, whatever, we'll just leave. But Chihaya insists on reading a letter she wrote to Arata. She gets it from her bag and she sees like a stack of Karuta cards that she brought with her. I have a note here that says Arata like tells him to leave, but he also brought out tea for everybody. So like, what's going on, man?
I think it's just like the obligation or expectation that you have tea for guests, even if you don't necessarily want them there.
Yeah, which is weird. Just be just mean. Tradition. Whatever. You're telling them to like fuck off forever and stop talking to you. You don't need to bring the tea.
You only made two cups of tea.
You only made two cups. Who are those for? Him and Tai Chi? What's happening?
Maybe because she was still in the bath. Maybe.
Yeah. Weird. She pulls out the Karuta cards and says that the three of them should play. She walks over to a side room to like set up the game. Arata doesn't react, and Tai Chi thinks that this is a bad idea. Chihaya talks about how much she loves Karuta and how much they used to love Karuta growing up while setting up the board. Tai Chi rushes over and shoves Arata. He tells Chihaya that they're leaving and that Arata isn't the same anymore, and then drags her out, telling Arata that they're not coming back. Tai Chi tries to drag Chihaya off, but she tries to like get away as they're like walking back down the trail. She breaks free and starts to head back, but sees an upset Yu running at them and she shoves the Karuta cards at her, saying that they can't leave those there. Like, you got to take the cards. You can't leave the cards with Arata, which means that Yu came back at some point, which is wild.
She is the neighbor. She is a neighbor, so she could have heard them like storm off or something. And then gone to check on Arata.
Maybe. Chihaya picks up the cards out of a puddle and explains how Karuta gave her like meaning. She asks Yu why Arata quit, and Yu explains that 4 years ago his grandfather had a stroke, so Arata had to come back and take care of him. That's why he, you know, had to leave after elementary school. But one day when Arata had gone or was gone, his grandfather had a relapse and died. He would have normally been there to take care of him that day, but at that time he was at a Karuta tournament getting his Class A rank, and ever since then he hasn't played. We get a flashback between young Arata and his grandfather, where his grandfather explains that the secret of his Karuta playing is that a Karuta god whispers to him while he plays. We jump back to Arata in the present day. He sees the envelope that Chihaya's letter was in, but she never got to like read. He picks it up and a bunch of notes fall out with questions and reminders about meeting Arata, like get his cell phone number and also take a picture of him for Dr. Harada. He takes out the actual letter. It says that Chihaya thinks of Arata as a Karuta god, and Arata says that he is no god. He just wanted to play with his friends. We cut to Tai Chi and Chihaya on the train. Chihaya is depressed and says that she never should have come. Then she hears something and looks out the window, and she sees Arata riding his bike alongside the train. He calls out to them and they bang on the window. He thinks to himself that he didn't want them to see what he had become, but in reality, he had really missed them. The train pulls away because it's a train. Chihaya collapses and cries, thinking that it's so good that he doesn't hate them. Tai Chi is like, come on, we're in public. You need to like not cry on the seat of this train. He wonders if she's able to hear Arata somehow, like through the train. Like, how did you even know he was there? He looks at her and tells her that he'll help her start a club at school. At school, we see a mysterious girl in full Kyoto gear, which is the Japanese archery thing with like the huge ass bow, looking at the Karuta Club poster as we cut to credits.
So they mentioned in the part where they're walking that's April. So good to note that that's kind of the time of year we're at right now. What do you think of? I feel like Arata's the only one who had anything distinct on his clothes, and he had like a jacket that said ER. So just more. Yeah, Arata has
despite being the like the poorest one, has the best fashion sense. I feel like
it's just straightforward. I guess it's
straightforward, but it, like I do like. I mean, I, you know, they're all weird. They all just have weird phrases on it. I think it's funny.
I feel like the voice actor, Arata especially. I don't know. The voice actor did a really good job of when he was on the bike and the yelling to the crying.
Yeah,
and it sounded very authentic.
There's a lot of saying words while you're like upset in this episode. That was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's. I mean, it's nice, right? Like this kind of had a nice little mini resolution, at least, where this like didn't drag on and weigh on Chihaya for tons of episodes and stuff, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's good that we get this addressed immediately. It's very funny. The last episode, I'm like, I wonder when we'll see him. And you're like, ah, he's probably like a train right away. And then, yes, he was a train right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so sweet. Now that you've seen Arata
sweet
and Taichi older, who's cuter? Arata looks the same, just an adult.
Arata looks the same, but taller.
Yeah. One Taichi's centimeter the only one who taller looks
yeah.
than Taichi. Well, Taichi's like the pretty boy, and
yeah.
Arata's more just the...
I mean, I know I his personality normal. I'm liking a little bit better. They both kind of suck, actually. Arata, you know, he's going through it. It's fine. Although, but like, his neighbor, Yu, does seem like kind of scared of him.
I mean, he's a little emo boy.
He's a little emo, so. But he's not like being emo. You know what I mean? He just like has the emotions of an emo, but without any of the aesthetics of it, right?
Uh-huh. I don't know. Maybe she's just... I was like, maybe she has a crush on him or something.
Well, I mean, she's like... it feels like she's taking care of him like he's like suicidal or something. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like she's doing like wellness checks on him.
It could be like her mom asked her, oh, that poor Arata boy. Keep an eye out on him, won't you, dear? Or something. Like yeah, that,
which is
maybe.
It's like kind
or
of
small
weird.
Community, small town community, just take care of each other, kind of.
Yeah,
perhaps.
I mean, we haven't gotten anything about his like immediate family situation, like his parents, right?
Yeah.
Was the implication that like if he was there, his grandfather wouldn't have died?
No, I think just that he missed out on the chance to say goodbye to him.
Okay.
Or like when it was his grandfather was in dire straits that he wasn't there to comfort.
Okay, because I was wondering, yeah. Like they say it in a way that makes it sound yeah, like that could be the case, but then it's uh-huh. also like, but he had a second stroke. You can't stop yeah, no. somebody from having nope. a stroke. You know what I mean?
Nope.
Like, there's not anything yeah. you could do. So interesting.
Yeah. Good episode, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Like this one felt like a lot happened in it. Or at least I was yes. engaged. Yeah.
Well, it's nice we get this payoff right after the three episodes of flashback.
Yeah.
That feels pretty good. How do we feel about Taichi being hopelessly in love with Chihaya?
I mean, it's just nothing's changed since she was a kid, I guess. It's not happening, dude. Like
she's not
clearly fixated on Arata and yes. not you.
But like, I don't even know if she's fixated on Arata in that kind of way anyway. No, like, I think it's going to be the
right
worst
now.
Of all worlds for him, which is like, you think of Arata as your love rival, but he's not even that.
You can't have a love rival with someone over someone who's not your freaking girlfriend. Break up with your girlfriend, dude. My God.
Yeah, break up with you. I mean, I guess it's been like one day, right? So.
Yeah.
There hasn't been like a ton of time.
No, shall we get into verse?
Yeah, this is
six.
We're like immediately pivoting to something else. So this is kind of
yeah.
the end of the Arata talk for the most
yep.
part. Yeah, you know, talk about his feelings instead of keeping them all bottled up all the time. Always been his problem. But also, I'm like the least convinced that Arata and Taichi were ever actually friends. Like they just played a game
no,
together. They were like teammates.
Both into Chihaya. So they just
yeah.
happened to be around each other.
Chihaya is like gonna get a rude awakening at some point and realizing that she doesn't understand the social dynamic that she's in.
Mm-hmm. I understand it's tough to have guy friends. Ugh.
Yeah.
We'll see.
The only one who's truly the friend of everybody is Dr. Harada.
Yeah.
Who's like,
that's
get
right.
a picture of Harada
rejecting.
For me. Also, don't give me chocolate. I have a wife.
Yes. Yes. So good.
Very good. All right. Verse six time. Verse six is called Now Bloom Inside the Ninefold Palace. And this is where I decided that these are meaningless titles.
I'm assuming that's a reference to one of the poem.
Yeah. That's like, how often do like,
maybe
so,
all
like
of them
folding,
are from poems.
Folding dividers. That makes sense.
That's probably what it is.
That would make sense. Yeah. They're all like the first line.
Yeah. Something.
Mm. We should look that up, but I'm not going to. Look at your card. Look at your card of cards and see if they start with those.
Yes, I am. Get to it. Verse six.
Verse six. We open on Chihaya and Taichi carrying a tatami mat up a big ass hill while the students watch. If you don't know, Autonomy Mat is like a soft mat that's used as like flooring. It's what they play on. So like you can be on like your knees on it and it doesn't hurt because it's like a soft padded flooring. The Kudo Club passes. That's the Japanese archery club. And they comment that one of their members is missing. Her name is Oe, and she skips today. We see her in the storehouse reciting a poem as the OP plays. Daichi and Chihaya make it to their destination, which is one of the storerooms in a separate building. Chihaya says that they need three more members to make a club, and Taichi is not confident they're going to be able to find those. They leave to bring over more tatami mats because they want to have like four or something. We cut to Oe. We learn that she doesn't really like Kyoto all that much, and she just likes the uniforms where they're wearing like the old style clothing. She sees the Karuta Club flyer and thinks that Chihaya must be very pretty because her sister is a famous model. And that this game is old, so maybe they can be like fancy ladies together. She checks out the storehouse where the club is. She's nervous to go in and hears the tape recording of the different poems. So she goes and looks through a window and sees Chihaya and Taichi playing Karuta. She's surprised to learn that Karuta is like that, because I don't think she's actually familiar with this game at all. Chihaya and Taichi finish their game. Taichi is still shaking off the rust and loses, but he notes that Chihaya relies on her ears too much because she's not good at memorizing the card positions, so like where they start at the very beginning of the game. They notice Oe outside, and Chihaya is way too excited to greet her, and she like runs away. So Chihaya like chases after Oe and like runs her down. She asks Oe if she likes Karuta, and Oe says yes. Then she proceeds to give a detailed account of the history of Karuta poems, like their authors, and you know, like which authors were from which eras, because she really likes the history and the poetry aspects of Karuta. Oe is frustrated because the... Yeah?
Sorry, I was like, oh, I should give Joe a break.
No, it's okay.
Okay, did not see any cards or whatever, but...
Dang.
I mean, I like that it's like a different, you know, showing that there's different ways to enjoy Karuta. You know, it doesn't have to be super competitive like that, you know?
Yeah, well, this is funny because it's like, this is the part of the game, like, it's a game about, like, poetry technically, but, like, you could swap it in for anything, right? Like, these could just be any phrases you remember. So unless you, like, actually care about the poetry, it kind of doesn't really have that much to do with Karuta. So it's very funny to see somebody who cares about the, like, history and poetry of it, not the actual gameplay, which I think is funny. But I'll have more to say about that later. Oe is frustrated because archery and kendo club get to wear the hakama, so why don't they? Taichi Chihaya says that they're expensive and hard to wear. Oe cries and explains that her family owns a traditional clothing shop, so she's like super into clothes. But they don't get business for like the nicer clothing because people only want cheap stuff. She eventually calms down and says that if she can't wear a hakama, then she isn't going to join. Taichi comments that she doesn't really seem that into the game, so she probably wasn't that cut out to be in it anyway. But Chihaya has some different ideas. Chihaya ambushes Oe in the library. We learn that Oe's first name is Kana, so I'm just going to call her that from now on. Chihaya invites her to play Karuta, but Kana insists that she isn't interested in the sport, only the poems. Chihaya tries again, but Kana rejects her. Taichi has to tell Chihaya to stop pushing so hard, since she's like not going to be into it if you just keep asking her. We cut to Kana at her family's clothing shop. Her mom steps out, leaving her to watch the place alone. She looks at an ornate kimono that they have on display when Chihaya walks in and compliments the kimono. She recites the Chihaya Furu poem and says that it's about a beautiful river, just like there's a river on the fabric design of the kimono they're looking at, because that song is about scenery. Kana comments that classical poetry is interesting when you know the context behind it. She says that she thinks the Chihaya Furu poem is about love, and then explains how the poet wrote the poem for a lover that he couldn't be with since she was betrothed to the emperor, which means he had to conceal his love for her in the guise of scenic language. Kana then says that Chihaya Furu means impassionate as a decorative word for gods that implies great force. Then she basically walks through the entire poem line by line, explaining the hidden meaning behind all of the words. Chihaya is blown away by poetry and asks Kana to do that again for all 100 poems. Kana is into it though, and starts going through some of the juicy details behind the poems, like how some of them are attributed to authors even though everybody thinks they were like shadow written by someone else, stuff like that, and other historical context that makes the poems make more sense. Kana and Chihaya have a blast talking about poetry.
Yeah.
Later that evening, Kana thinks about how Chihaya was the first person to take actual interest in her love of history. We cut to Chihaya and Taichi playing Karuta. Chihaya can now look at the poems in a new way and has refreshed her interest in the game. She sees Kana outside and goes to see her. Kana says that she'll join on one condition. We cut to Chihaya doing a promotional photo shoot for Kana's family's product catalog. We jump back to school and Kana says that they need to wear hakama during matches, and that's her condition for joining. Also, she wants them to clean up the club room so they can have space to do things, so they all get to work clearing out the storehouse. Taichi starts teaching Kana how to play the game, and we get a quick scene of Arata before we cut to credits.
Arata with Karuta cards.
He's back into it.
I don't know what the duration of time between when he stopped playing and now is. I don't know how long that is. But yeah, Kana.
Kana's great. I love her.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, me and my sister, when we were in Japan, we did the whole, she wore a kimono and I wore a hakama. So it is the big flary pants, which I thought would be more comfortable to wear. And they're really cool. It's fun to because you get to pick the sleeve part and then the obi, which is the belt. Fun to, because you kind of pick which parts you want to go together. It's not like the kimono says individual pieces that you assemble, whatever color coordinated and patterns you want. So it's really fun to pick those out. Yeah, so we just rented them. I could see most people not owning those because they wouldn't have need for them for the most part. So I could see the shop struggling a bit if you're not in a touristy kind of place.
Yeah, this would be equivalent to getting a a tuxedo or a suit for a prom or something, right? Where it's you probably could just rent that because you're only going to need
it.
Five times in your life or whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
So that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I love Kana. I like that she's just a little nerd. I like that she is just into history and likes Karuta from the history perspective and the poetry perspective as opposed to the sport side, which everybody else has been so far. That's great. This is the most I think she's just straight up right about poetry is interesting if you learn about the context around it, because most of the time, especially a lot of me growing up has been realizing that if you get context for things, they're actually interesting, where most of the time, if you're just told about them, they don't matter that much. You know what I mean? Things like Shakespeare are a lot more interesting when you understand the context in which they're written in and who the audience is for and what else is going on in the world at the time that they're written and what this is a reference to, than if you were just to read it, which we kind of just did in high school.
You should get, because I have the direct translated Karuta set, but they have the English poet version instead, where it is Shakespeare and what we could consider classic poetry on the cards instead. You should get that set.
Uh-huh.
Yay, so this poetry. Is great.
I think this is really fun. I do again, a lot of the ways in which I can enjoy things now are I need to dig deeper into a thing to understand what's going on, because I can't just enjoy the surface level thing of it anymore. So Kana doing this and teaching Chihaya that the stuff is stuff has meaning behind it. If you understand why things are this way, it'll make you appreciate why we're playing a game about poetry as opposed to just poetry being on the cards that are the game. This is very fun. I think this is great. I think it's great.
So now they have three members and then need five total to make a club. So we've got two more to recruit.
Right.
And each of them kind of has a different relationship with Karuta, which is fun. Right. Taichi is much more technical and memorizing, and Chihaya is more just impulsive but fast, and Kana, with the sentimental value, and so we'll see what else we get.
This is
where we get the new folks, so we're gonna get more of an introduction to how the game works over time, because they'll be teaching these new folks how to play.
Yeah,
we haven't gotten as in depth on that end yet.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because I guess if I think about what kind of players everybody is, Arata is full memorizing everything, really leaning into the fact that he's really good at memorizing stuff. That's his basic tactic. Whereas Chihaya is all about speed. It's all about going real fast. This is why she did track and the starter gun and all that stuff. Taichi kind of seems like an all rounder. He's kind of just trying to do it all.
Balanced.
He's a more balanced player. I don't know how Kano's gonna play. She was just learning how to play at the end of this
episode.
She's
also
so
tiny.
She's also very small.
A tiny.
She's a very small girl.
Very cute. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see like what her play style is. I'm very interested in how her and Tai Chi will interact. Are they gonna get along? I don't know.
Oh, Kana and Tai Chi?
Yeah.
Oh, why? Because he was like dismissive of her reasons.
Well, it's like she can bond with Chihaya over the like history stuff because Chihaya takes an interest in that. I don't know if Tai Chi's gonna take an interest in that.
I don't know. Maybe he'll pretend to so that him and Chihaya can talk about more stuff together.
Yeah, well, it's just interesting because like his interest in Karta has been so driven by his crush on Chihaya that like I don't know how it would be him interacting with other people around it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll see.
So I'm looking forward to seeing how all the other people interact with all the other people. I feel bad for Kana that all of her friends make fun of her for liking history.
Well, they're not really her friends, are they?
I guess not.
Just former teammates.
Yeah, her peers think she's lame for liking history, which is so wrong. Dude, history is cool, it turns out.
Uh-huh.
The problem is that you need a good hook. This is the thing. We're like, if it's presented to you, so many things in my life were not presented to me in the right way, and so I wasn't interested in them. And then later on, they were presented to me in the right way, and now I am interested in them. Like, the presentation of the thing is like critical as to whether or not you're going to be interested in it or not. Like, Chihaya would never learn about history or poetry if it wasn't for this game, right? And even this, Karta as the game was only introduced to her as like a vector for interacting with Arata and like having a thing outside of her sister. Like the motivations don't really match like what the actual thing is, but the way it was introduced like makes a profound difference. And I really do think that's true for a lot of stuff. Like I kind of like for me, I can be interested in a lot of different stuff as long as it's like pitched to me in a way that I'm receptive to.
Yes.
So I find it fascinating to have an episode that's basically all like about that, right? Where like Kana is able to pitch learning history or like, you know, teaching her history or like showing her about like the poetry and stuff through the lens of Karuta. And then Chihaya is able to do the opposite of like pitching the sport aspect of it through the lens of you get to interact with the poetry and pieces like that. And also, you know, we'll wear the old clothing. Also, it's fun to dress up.
Yeah, it is. Although that is heavy clothing that doesn't seem the best for movement or sitting, which is like what you do in Karuta. So we'll see.
But it's only on your legs. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's like, does that fabric crinkle a lot? Or is it like, what, these buildings look kind of shoddy. Maybe the air conditioning sucks and then they're going to be really hot. And
well, they're only wearing it during matches. They're not going to wear it during
April. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, not during practice. But
isn't that kind of, aren't those kind of pants like pleated?
I guess they're pretty. Well, that's
they can fold, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're not like confining or anything. Anyways, we should move on because I am on a tight schedule.
Yep.
So let's breeze through our recommendations of the week. I'm gonna start. Joe, I don't know if you've ever tried a text-based game before, like where it's entirely text that the game plays.
Like
that's like an old game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like where you input commands or anything. This is just narrative where you like read and then you like select your choice and then that affects how the rest of the story plays out.
Yep.
So there's this developer called Choice of Games, and it's been a long time since I played one of them. But the first one I played is called Heroes Rise the Prodigy. And it's kind of like, you know, this world with superheroes and you're a new hero and you get to like kind of determine like what your hero looks like and what kind of combat. And that like changes all of the text that you read through. And there's even a little romance and stuff. Let's see, 100,000 words of interactive fiction, multiple endings. Let's see. Yeah, if you like reading, it's probably not the highest quality writing, but it's like a fun little thing to try out. They're super cheap games too. They have a bunch of different themes, like dragons or, you know, werewolves or kung fu, you know, all kinds of different settings for choice of robots. Be a robot. You know, all sorts of stuff. So maybe check those out. That's my recommendation.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It looks pretty interesting. My recommendation is going to be a recommendation I gave at the very, very beginning of this show. But I didn't give it as a pitch specifically to you. And I feel like I probably could, unless you looked at it, in which case I'm giving this to nothing. I'm going to pitch you on the webcomic RPG. Did you ever look at that?
No, I haven't like actually read any of it. I do distinctly remember you and I had like looked at the cover art and stuff.
Yes. So this is a webcomic about an elf named Harpy. She is going on a journey to where that's brought her to this kind of like small town name. I think it's Punkadillo, maybe something like that.
That's cute.
She makes some friends there. They go on adventures together. It's very cute. The art is really it's extremely charming. There's some romance subplots. There's some magic subplots. Harpy is like a kind of a go-getter, swashbuckler. It's very cute. There's magic in the world. It's very fun. You can, you know, it's a web comic. It's not super duper long, but it is like pretty substantially long at this point. So it'll take some time to read. You're not just gonna like blow through all of it in like an hour. It's very cute. I like almost all of it. I'm a little behind right now, but I need to catch back up.
Yeah.
You should definitely check this out. I do think you would be interested in it. I do think the art style is very nice, and you would probably like it. And, you know, it's kind of a, you know, she's like an elf girl. So it's like a fantasy thing, you know, kind of like it feels like there are aspects of when I watched you play Dragon Age Veilguard of like characters hanging out, that kind of thing, which might be effort here.
Okay.
So.
Banter. Party banter. We love it.
Yep. Okay. So RPG, I think you should actually check it out this time.
Yeah, where we like follow up and see, like you even I hadn't recommended this to you, but you've like tried which spring are. And so I should try something you've recommended. So and I do read webcomics, so I should check it out.
So back on that one.
OK,
but yeah. Well,
okie dokie.
That's the show. Please rate us 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice. Please leave a comment. If you have any questions or comments to send to us directly, you can email us at shoujopod@gmail.com. Please tell us or tell your friends about us. We are, you know, kind of going through the first season of Chihaya Fuguru at the moment. We may go directly into season 2, kind of depending on how we're feeling, or we may take a break and do something else. This is a good time to get on board. If you have any friends that, you know, like this show or are interested in this show, this is a good way to watch along with it. Please tell your friends.
Pretty please. Sweet. Okay. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for spreading the good word about Shoujo. We expect many new listeners next week, so get on it. And
remember that classical poetry is only interesting if you know the context behind it. Don't just try to look up classical poetry without knowing anything. It probably won't work for you.
But Shakespeare has never hit with me, so.
Shakespeare that's still does hit for me sometimes. Like, that one survives time pretty well. There's older stuff. Like, one time I read the Night of the Burning Pestle, I had to get that explained to me.
if you don't pick it up, I'll never get it.
Listen, sometimes you just need someone to explain what's going on in a thing. Sometimes just experiencing the thing isn't enough. That's fine. You don't need to feel bad about that. Sometimes that's just how things are.
Yeah. That's like one time I showed up for a test in AP English and then everyone was talking about it beforehand. And that's when I realized, oh, wait, that's what this book is about. Because I was under a totally different impression. Good thing I found out right before I started taking the test for this book called I Am the Cheese.
Yes.
Where I totally did not pick up on.
Never feel bad about that. Like, I don't pick up on shit all the time. Even though it seems like I would. No, but it doesn't matter. Like, if you aren't in that exact headspace while reading a thing, you may just not pick it up and being like, oh, shit. Like, I'll read like a review of a thing or like a criticism of a thing. And all of a sudden I'll be like, oh, it was about this. I didn't even notice. Totally a normal reaction to have to stuff. So.
OK, cool. That's all it. Right. I'm not a dummy. Joe said so.
No,
it's
hard. Okay. It's not a skill that you have to use all the time. So your muscles for it are not super good.
Yeah. Speaking of which, luckily you are all listening to this. So in case you missed anything in Chihaya Fuguru, maybe we'll catch on to it.
We're going to get to the end of this series and it's all been about like a metaphor for like growing apart or something. And we're going to be like, ah, shit, we didn't notice.
It's a sports anime. All right. OK, see you. Yep. Bye-bye next time.
Bye.
All that.